unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul unto thee, O Lord.
Hello, my podcast listeners. I'm Shirley Vinson, the host of In Search of God's Instructions. Thank you for joining me today. On our last podcast episode, we took a look at the question, does God care about the human race? Today, we're going to have part two to this same question, does God care about the human race? And we'll continue to look at the book of Revelation, chapter 22. In this podcast, we're going to focus on the angel who's speaking to John in this book. He identifies himself as being a brother and fellow servant of those who keep the words of this book. As a brother and a fellow servant, it signifies to us that this angel has something in common with the human race, which means that he sees, understands our physical, daily, and spiritual struggles in our lives. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts as we look at chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. In this particular chapter, we are looking at the Apostle Peter, who has been shut up in prison for teaching to the Jewish people that Yeshua was the Son of God and the Messiah. And Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the congregation. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers. And the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by, and a light shined in the prison, and struck Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. When the angel said to him, Gird yourself, and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Put on your garments, and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. But he thought he was having a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate which leads to the city. And the gate opened on its own accord. And they went out on the street and went down one street. And immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and all the expectation of the Jewish people. In this particular incident, we see that an angel appeared to Peter while he was in prison. Keep in mind, he was bound with chains between two guards, and this angel shone a light on Peter, and the chains fell off. And the angel led Peter out of the prison cell, past the guard posts, out to the street where there was a gate, and the gate miraculously opened by itself. They went past the gate and down one street, and then the angel departed. Peter thought that he was having a dream. And after the angel departed and he realized he was indeed standing on the street, he was no longer in prison. He realized that his dream was, in fact, a miracle. It really did happen. So we see here that in a time of need, this angel was a fellow servant to Peter, and he was a brother. He served him by releasing him from prison. And obviously he was a brother because he was doing what God had commanded him to do. That is, the angel was doing what God had commanded him to do. Now we're going to take a look at the book of Matthew in chapter 18, verse 10. In this chapter, Yeshua, the Messiah, is talking to his disciples. And he tells them to take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. This is a warning from Yeshua to the human race about how to treat small children. He said that their angels always see the face of our Father God in heaven. So if the angel always sees the face of God, the angels that are assigned to small children are constantly going back and forth to heaven, standing before the presence of God and relating to God the things that they're seeing in regards to the child that God has assigned that angel to. When I consider this, I am reminded of the fact that in the times that we live in today, the horrible things that are happening to children are heart-wrenching, horrifying, really make you sick on your stomach when you hear and read about grown men who are raping children as infants and toddlers, young babes. When you hear or read about adults who are abusing their children to the point of death, starving them, killing them, all because of their own selfish desires. And when we ask God, why do these things happen? Why does He allow them to happen against innocent children? Keep in mind that God is always about righteousness, justice, and life, whereas Satan is always about evil, pain, sorrow, destruction, and death. Satan allow his demons to commit these acts against children. So now, the thing is, why some children and why not almost all children? That has to do with the authority figure, the legalized authority figure of that child's life. God instructs us to teach our children about Him. He tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." I say that again. When you're sitting in your homes, you're to talk about God to your children and teach them about God. When you're walking along the way, if you're walking them to school, if you're out shopping with them, regardless of what you're doing, in the presence of that child that you're spending time with, you're supposed to be here and then dropping little tidbits to them about God, getting to know God, trusting in God, and understanding the ways of God. We're to do that when we not only walk with them, but before we go to bed at night and when we get up in the morning. In my home, when I was raising my children, I remember I used to have, "Hey, you're going to school today. We're going to stop and have a family circle of prayer before you walk out the door, asking God to watch over you, protect you, and keep you safely in the palm of His hands." There was one particular incident when I remember they had my children, some of their school friends had stopped over that morning before it was time for them to leave for school. And I said, "Oh, stop. Time to have family prayer." And their friends was like, "What? Have family prayer?" And of course, I had their friends join in for family prayer, because it is our way of asking God to keep our children safe when they are outside of our presence and our ability to do so. Do you realize that when you don't take the time to teach your children about God, you are in essence saying to God, "Keep your hands off my children." That's in essence what you're telling God. "Do not touch my children." And if God doesn't have your children in the palm of His hands, then your children become a prey to the world for the evil demons out there who are seeking to do evil things against them. That's the reality of life, period. And it's not my opinion. It is what is written in the Word of God. That is why the Messiah said, their angels are always standing in the presence of God. Every child that comes into this world has an angel assigned to it by God. And when we ask God to watch over them and we teach them about God, we are giving God permission to let that angel act on God's behalf towards the protection of that child. If we don't teach our children about God, if we ourselves don't trust in God, then what we are in essence doing is saying, God, I don't think you have the ability to watch over my children, and therefore, I'm not teaching my children about you. And therefore, when Satan allows his demons to encounter your child, God does not give his angels instructions to intervene physically in such a situation. And it's not because God is evil. It is because God does not force himself into the lives of people who do not want him there. If you want him there, you must ask him to be there. And if you don't ask him, he will not force himself into our lives. So keep that in mind. If you're raising children, you have the authority to raise children. You're the parents, whether you're a single parent or you're a married couple raising children, or you are the legal adoptive authority of a child, whatever responsibility you have in an authoritative way, in a legal way towards that child, you have a responsibility as instructed to us by God, our Creator, to teach that child about Him. It is not the responsibility of the teachers and the staff in school to teach that child about God. It is not the responsibility of your elders, your leaders, your pastors, your religious authorities in your churches to teach that child about God. And neither is it the responsibility of our governmental officials or of our community leaders. It is the responsibility of the parents and the legal authoritative official in that child's life. And I think I've said enough about that. I am really passionate about children being abused physically, emotionally, spiritually. It really tears at the core of my soul. And I hope if you are listening to this podcast, you will consider that if you have small children and start to seek diligently what you need to do to start doing all that you can, not just for your children, if you're able to pray for all children. Pray for children. Now, we're going to move on to what takes place with adults when it comes to angels. Because keep in mind, I've said that every soul born into the world, God assigns an angel to the person. So you come in as a babe, God assigns an angel to you. And if you live past childhood, that angel remains with you. So we're going to go now to a book called The Lost Scriptures. And we're going to be looking at, in this book, a book titled The Apocalypse of Paul. That is, the Apostle Paul. When you look at this book, it was a lost book, of course. And in it, it is believed that there's a particular place in our Bible where the Apostle Paul speaks of once knowing a man who had an experience in the third heaven. And the Bible doesn't give us any related details about it. However, when we read this book is what is believed Paul was talking about. It was written about it. He wrote about it. And eventually it was discovered. So I will be reading to you three excerpts from this book. So bear with me. We're first going to take a look at the angel that Paul was talking to. He said to the angel, and I said to the angel, I wish to see the souls of the just and of sinners, and to see what manner they go out of the body. And the angel answered and said to me, look again upon the earth. And I looked, and I saw the world, and the people were as naught, and growing weak. And I looked carefully, and saw a certain man about to die. And the angel said to me, this one whom you see is a just man. And I looked again and saw all his works, what he had done for the sake of God's name, and all his desires, both what he remembered and what he did not remember. They all stood in his sight in the hour of need. And I saw the just man advance and find refreshment and confidence. And before he went out of the world, the holy angels and the impious angels both attended. And I saw them all, but the impious found no place of habitation in him, but the holy angels took possession of his soul, guiding it till it went out of the body. And they roused the soul, saying, Soul, know the body that you leave, for it is necessary that you should return to the same body on the day of the resurrection, that you may receive the things promised to all the just. Receiving therefore the soul from the body, they immediately kissed it, as if it were familiar to them, saying to it, Be of good courage, for you have done the will of God while placed on the earth. And there came to meet it the angel who watched it every day, and said to it, Be of good courage, soul. I rejoice in you, because you have done the will of God on earth. And I related to God all your works, just as they were. Similarly, also, the spirit proceeded to meet it, and said, Soul, fear not, nor be disturbed, until you come to a place which you have never known. But I will be a helper to you, for I found in you a place of refreshment in the time when I dwelt in you while I was on the earth. And his spirit strengthened it, and his angel received it, and led it into heaven. And an angel said to it, Where are you running, O soul, and do you dare to enter heaven? Wait, and let us see if there is anything of ours in you. And behold, we find nothing in you. I see also your divine helper and angel, and the Spirit is rejoicing along with you, because you have done the will of God on earth. And they led it along till it should worship in the sight of God. And when it has ceased, immediately Michael and all of the army of angels with one voice adored the footstool of his feet and his doors, saying at the same time to the soul, This is your God of all things who made you in his own image and likeness. Moreover, the angel ran on ahead and pointed him out, saying, God, remember his labors, for this is the soul whose work I related to you, acting according to your judgment. And the Spirit said likewise, I am the Spirit of vivification, inspiring it. For I had refreshment in it at the same time when I dwelt in it, acting according to your judgment. And there came the voice of God and said, Inasmuch as this man did not grieve me, neither will I grieve him. As he had pity, I also will have pity. Let it therefore be handed over to Michael, the angel of the covenant, and let him lead it into the paradise of joy, that it may become co-heir with all the saints. And after these things I heard the voices of 1,000,000 angels, and archangels, and cherubim, and 24 elders, saying hymns and glorifying the Lord, and crying, You are just, O God, and just are your judgments, and there is no respect of persons with you, but you reward everyone according to his judgments. So we see here that an angel was assigned to this soul when it was born into the earth. This soul tried to live a righteous life. Now, did the soul ever do evil? Of course it did, because there's none of us that are without sin. However, the angel recorded the sins, and the angel recorded the just righteous deeds. Apparently, the soul got to the point where it only did just righteous deeds, and for the evils that it did do, that were unknowing perhaps, the soul continuously asked God for forgiveness of his sins. And so therefore, when it died in righteousness, and it received the reward of the paradise of joy and became co-heir with all the saints who had died in the same manner, that is, in the manner of doing righteousness here on earth. Now we're going to take a look at a soul who is on the opposite spectrum of the situation. And the angel said to me, Look again down on the earth and watch the soul of an impious man going out of the body, which grieved the Lord day and night, saying, I know nothing else in this world. I eat and drink and enjoy what is in the world. For who is there who has descended into hell, and ascending, has declared to us, there is judgment there? And again, I looked carefully and saw all the scorn of the sinner and all he did. And they stood together before him in the hour of need. And it was done to him at that hour, when he was led out of the body at the judgment, and he said, It was better for me if I had not been born. And after these things, there came at the same time the holy angels and the evil angels. And the soul of the sinner saw both, and the holy angels did not find a place in it. Moreover, the evil angels cursed it, and when they had drawn it out of the body, the angels admonished it a third time, saying, O wretched soul, look upon your flesh from which you have come out of, for it is necessary that you should return to your flesh in the day of resurrection, that you may receive what is due for your sins and impieties. And when they had led it forth, the guardian angel preceded it and said to it, O wretched soul, I am the angel belonging to you, relating daily to the Lord your evil works, whatever you did by night or day. And if it were in my power, not for one day would I minister to you. But none of these things was I able to do. The judge is full of pity and just, and he himself commanded us that we should not cease to minister to the soul till you should repent. But you have lost the time of repentance. I have become a stranger to you, and you to me. Let us go on then to the just judge. I will not dismiss you before I know from today I am to be a stranger to you. And the spirit afflicted it, and the angel troubled it. When they arrived at the powers, when it started to enter heaven, a burden was imposed upon it above all other burdens. Error and oblivion and murmuring met it, and the spirit of fornication and the rest of the powers, and said to it, Where are you going, wretched soul? And do you dare to rush into heaven? Hold, that we may see if we have our qualities in you, since we do not see you have a holy helper. And after that I heard voices in the height of heaven, saying, Present that wretched soul to God, so it may know that it is God whom it despised. When therefore it had entered heaven, all the angels saw it, 1,000,000 exclaimed with one voice, all saying, Woe to you, wretched soul, for the sake of your works which you did on earth. What answer are you about to give to God when you have approached to adore him? The angel who was with it answered and said, Weep with me, my beloved, for I have not found rest in this soul. And the angels answered him and said, Let such a soul be taken away from our midst, for from the time it entered the stink of it crosses to us angels. And after these things it was presented that it might worship in the sight of God. And the angel of God showed it, God who made it after his own image and likeness. Moreover, its angel ran before it, saying, Lord God Almighty, I am the angel of the soul, whose works I presented to you day and night, not acting in accordance with your judgment. And the Spirit likewise said, I am the Spirit who dwelt in it from the time it was made. In itself I know it, and it has not followed my will. Judge it, Lord, according to your judgment. And there came the voice of God to it and said, Where is your fruit which you have made worthy of the goods which you have received? Did I not make the sun to rise upon you as upon the just? But the soul was silent, having nothing to answer. And again there came a voice saying, Just is the judgment of God, and there is no respect of persons with God. For whoever shall have done mercy on him shall have mercy, and whoever shall not have been merciful, neither shall God pity him. Let it therefore be handed over to the angel Tartarus, who is set over the punishments, and let him cast it into outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And let it be there till the great day of judgment. And after these things, I heard the voice of the angels and the archangels saying, You are just, Lord, and your judgment is just. So in comparison to the soul that died doing righteousness while it was on earth, and this soul who died in the midst of his sins on earth, we see different punishments being carried out. For this soul who has died in sin, it was handed over to the angel of punishment. And it was cast into a place of out of darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, which means there's torments going on. And the soul itself, when it realized what was happening to it after it died, said, It was better for me not to have been born. Because prior to his death, his exclaim was, I live on the earth and I enjoy what is on the earth. And we see that the powers that met it before it went in to worship God were murmuring, fornication, all the things that he did while he was on the earth. And we see that for each place that the soul is led to, it will remain in that place until the resurrection, where it will be judged again. Let us go on now to the last scene that we're going to take a look at here in this book. And again, I saw, and behold, a soul which was led forward by two angels weeping and saying, Have pity on me, just God, God that judge, for today is 7 days since I went out of my body, and I was handed over to these two angels. And they brought me to those places which I have never seen. And God, the just judge, said to it, What have you done? For you never showed mercy. Therefore, you were handed over to such angels as have no mercy. And because you did no right, so neither did they act compassionately with you in your hour of need. Confess your sins which you committed when placed in the earth. And it answered and said, Lord, I did not sin. And the Lord, the just Lord, was angered in fury when it said, I did not sin, because it lied. And God said, Do you think you are still in the world where any one of you sinning may conceal and hide his sin from his neighbor? There is nothing whatever shall be hidden here. When the souls come to worship in the sight of the throne, both the good works and the sins of each one are made manifest. And hearing these things, the soul was silent, having no answer. And I heard the Lord God, the just judge, saying again, Come, angel of the soul, and stand in the midst. And the angel of the sinful soul came, having in his hands a document, and said, These, Lord, in my hand are all the sins of the soul, from its youth till today, from the 10th year of its birth. And if you command, Lord, I will also relate its acts from the beginning of its 15th year. And the Lord God, the just judge, said, I say to you, angel, I do not expect of you an account of it since it began to be 15 years old, but state its sins for 5 years before it died and before it came hither. And again, God, the just judge, said, For by myself I swear, and by my holy angels, and by my virtue, that if it had repented 5 years before it died, on account of a conversation 1 year old, oblivion would now be thrown over all the evils which it sinned before, and it would have indulgence and remission of sins. Indeed, now it shall perish. And the angel of the sinful soul answered and said, God command the angel to exhibit those souls. So in this particular case, we see that while This man was in heaven witnessing what happened to the soul of a just man and the soul of an evil man or an impious man. What he saw while he was standing there was another soul who was crying and weeping and crying out to God saying, "Have mercy on me. I died 7 days ago. And these two angels brought me to a place which I had never seen before." And God asked him, "Well, what did you do while you was on earth? Since you had no pity while you was on earth toward others of the human race, then you've been handed over to angels who have no pity on you." And then God says, "Did I make the sun to rise on you as well as the just?" And the answer, of course, is yes, he did. He didn't put one day between the sun rising on those who do the will of God as opposed to those who do not do the will of God. This should have us keep in mind and think about how we live our lives on a daily basis, how we treat other people, the things we do. We see a person in need and we do nothing to help. There are people who plot evil to wreak havoc in other people's lives simply because they have the power to do so. There are people who sit and scheme up ways to financially rob other people blind simply because they have the ability to do so. Not only do they scheme up on it, they put it into action. All of these things are things that are against God, walking contrary to the way he tells us, he instructs us to live our lives while we're here on earth. And also keep in mind, when this particular soul stood before God and God questioned him, he says, "I didn't sin." And God asked him, "Do you think that you're still on the earth where anything that you do, you can hide it, conceal it, that other people don't see it?" And the soul had no comment, said absolutely nothing. Likewise, we see the soul that was previous to this one, and we see where the angel who was with it testified against it, that he didn't find rest in it, and the Spirit of God that he had assigned to it said he had not found rest into it, and the soul would not listen to him whenever he would give the soul advice. And that's what the Spirit of God does. It dwells within us and gives us advice on doing the right thing, because the Spirit of God does not tell us to do evil things. The demons of Satan whispers in our ears to do evil things. This book that I just read from is titled Lost Scriptures, Books That Did Not Make It Into the New Testament. Within it, you will find the book that I just read from, The Apocalypse of Paul. Whenever you read any book that I present to you, I have taken the time to read the book to see if the character of God matches with the character of God that we see in our Bibles when we read from Genesis to Revelation, because the character of God is unchanging. What he gave us thousands of years ago are applicable to our lives today and will continue to be applicable to our lives in the future. And I realized through my previous podcast that I didn't answer the question, does God care about the human race, in the podcast itself. The answer is definitely yes, he does care. We know that he cares because, first, he has created every soul before the foundation of the world. This you will find in the book of the Secrets of Enoch. Second, he has given us flesh for the earth because that is how he created us. This you will also find in the book of Enoch. Third, he has assigned an angel to each one of us when we're born into this world. Fourth, he has given us his Holy Spirit to dwell within us while we are here on the earth. His Holy Spirit is our communication channel with him. When the Spirit advises us about the will of God, we are to take heed to it and apply it to our lives. The angel watches over us, records everything that we do. We've seen this in the book of Matthew. We've also seen this in this book that I just finished reading to you, The Apocalypse of Paul. And we also see it in the book of Revelation, where the books were open and those who were dead were judged. There's so much more to go through regarding our souls, our lives here on earth. But we know that God cares, because if he didn't care, our children wouldn't have angels to watch over them. If he didn't care, he would not have provided for us his set of instructions of how we are to live in this world before we leave it. Because once we leave it, as adults, accountability applies to us. Once we leave this world, we will be accountable for how we lived on it. And that accountability is what will forever either separate us from God or bring us to a place of paradise where we will always be in his presence. So death is not about the flesh dying. It is about being eternally separated from God. That is death. The flesh cannot exist in the presence of God. The soul exists in the presence of God. And once it's in the presence of God, he will give it the covering that it needs to exist in his presence. The other thing is that if we are not existing in his presence, the flesh or the covering that he does give us will go to a place of torment where it will forever feel an undying worm and an unquenchable flame. Those are the things to think about every day when we wake up and before we go to bed at night. They're the things that we are to emphasize to our children as they become old enough to understand it. This brings us to the conclusion of this podcast episode. Until then, may God be with you as you search out his word and you study these books and decipher for yourself the words of God, the character that's written of God in these books, and you will know which ones are worthy of applying to your life and keeping in mind of the behaviors and the characters of God, and which ones are not. May God be with you and guide you on your way as you go in search of God's instructions.
Let me not be ashamed, let not mine enemies triumph over me.
Yea, let none that way on me be ashamed. Yea, let none that way.